Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Awakening Radio. My name is James Bean, with you every week at this time, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, world scriptures, and other books that matter, East and West, about God, meditation, near-death experiences, the vegan diet, and other ahimsa ethics. Veganism is a part of ethics of ahimsa, meaning nonviolence in thought, word, and deed. Education for a more peaceful planet. Freedom of the airwaves. It's unhealthy in a democracy for the media, including radio, to be totally dominated by one or two religious voices as if they are the only ones that exist and no other faith community or point of view matters. If the religion spirituality section of a bookstore was like the radio airwaves are in most places, only one or two books would be found there. The shelves would be mostly bare, covered in dust. No longer being content with the empty silence, I began recording my own programs. My mission statement: there's not just one religion, there are thousands. After years of being concerned that too few voices, too few points of view were getting heard when it comes to spiritual paths and world religions, that the radio airwaves were not reflecting the diversity that really exists, I started producing my own programs exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, meditation, mysticism, vegetarianism, ahimsa values, and books bringing to the airwaves the gentle voices of saints, the wisdom of masters or mystics, world scriptures, sacred texts, the great spiritual traditions and classics of the East and the West. My website is spiritualawakeningradio.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/spiritualawakeningradio. If you go to Google and just type in Spiritual Awakening Radio, James Bean, something like that, you'll see a whole list of things for social media, Twitter, Tumblr, all kinds of blogs and articles and different parts of the website will appear. Podcasts, on demand. Today's program, My Encounter with the Lost Books of the Bible, sometimes called Apocrypha, also called by other rather theological sounding terms like pseudepigraphical literature, pseudepigrapha, biblical literature. Different bits and pieces of that have their own names too. Dead Sea Scrolls would be part of that. There is, of course, the Hebrew Bible that is in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the Dead Sea Scrolls also has many other books that are no longer considered scriptural in Judaism, but used to be by the Essene branch of Judaism or other groups. So there are many interesting writings in the Dead Sea Scrolls that are in the category of scripture or lost books of the Bible, or scriptures that belong to someone else's version of Judaism. The Nag Hammadi Library, the Gnostic Gospels, are also in this category. Sayings of Jesus not found in the New Testament are rather mysterious and are also in this category of extra-canonical or apocryphal scripture, other Bible, lost books of the Bible, censored scriptures, or just plain forgotten about writings. I mean, I know of writings of Kripal Singh, a relatively recent spiritual master who taught, traveled in extensively in the Western world in the 1950s and 60s, also early 70s. And he has a few out-of-print books. A few organizations have let slip out of print certain things. And there's a book of letters that Kripal Singh wrote to various initiates. And there's now an abridged edition. But originally it was a two-volume set published in 1968 at Sawan Ashram in Delhi, India. And there are letters that are in that original edition that are not included in the abridged edition. So, I mean, you can have writings disappear. All that happens all the time. So the idea of there being sayings of Jesus that didn't make it into the New Testament, that's really not so weird as it sounds. You would think that that would not be the case, but really it's very much the case, because you have all of these written down collections of sayings, and people have them in different places, in Egypt, in Israel, in Syria, and not everyone gets invited to the conference. Not everyone, not all of the writings that everyone has in all of these different Middle Eastern locations are known to the deciders of scripture in Orthodoxy in the 4th century, when the New Testament and the Hebrew scriptures were figured out, and you get the European or Euro-Christian Roman Empire version of the Bible. Not everyone's in the Roman Empire, to the east and to the west and to the south, in places along North Africa, down to Ethiopia, over to the Persian Gulf, Syrian, Iranian, Persian areas. Not everyone's invited to these conferences that decide these questions. And in these different areas, what was called scripture varied greatly. The Gospel of Thomas and the Odes of Solomon were considered scripture by many. The books of Enoch were as well. In fact, the books of 1st and 2nd Enoch are even now in the Ethiopian Bible. And that's how they were retrieved. Some folks went to Ethiopia, grabbed some copies of the Ethiopian Bible, brought them to London, and the books of Enoch that were found in the Ethiopian Old Testament were translated. And that's how we recovered the books of 1st and 2nd Enoch, by grabbing the Ethiopian Bible. So it's a much more fluid thing than people realize. Most assume that the Bible was put together by Jesus and the apostles, or perhaps it even fell from the sky and was caught by some early church fathers that said, "Eureka, let's publish this." Or maybe they think it was caught in 1604 by a fellow by the name of King James living in the British Empire. And it just is a cut and dried and settled matter. But the reality is rather different, with people in the early centuries of Christianity saying the book of Revelation is a terrible document and should not be included, and others arguing in favor. So you have human beings haggling about what books should be included or not included. Constantine's original 50 Bibles contained writings that are not in there now. And so what is considered scripture may vary. Maybe the books of Maccabees, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, are in there. But in other people's version of scripture, they're not. Or maybe just 1st and 2nd Maccabees are, but not 3rd and 4th. Or the letters of Clement, 1st and 2nd Clement, might be in there, or they might not, depending on what part of the Roman Empire during the early centuries AD you happened to live in. So it's a much more fascinating, the reality is much more fascinating than the mythological assumption of some, that the Bible dropped from the sky and it was translated perfectly, everything 100% in agreement, and as if a divine act. And presto, here we are. The reality is much more fascinating. I've always been much more drawn to the research of scholars delving into various religious traditions, because they're not out to be paid yes men for various religions or denominations, but are out to uncover the truth of the matter or various matters. And that interest in the honest truth is far more interesting, more spiritual, as far as I'm concerned, than the "this is the way we're supposed to think" kind of robotical theological approach, being paid to believe A, B, and C, and that's it. No questions asked, you know, something like that. The reality is far more fascinating. In my teens, I became quite interested in God, religion, prayer, and what I now would call meditation, and having mystical experiences. One day, I was reading the New Testament book of Jude. It's a short letter near the end of the New Testament, using something called the Berkeley Bible, a Berkeley translation of the Bible with its more scholarly and honest non-sectarian footnotes at the bottom of many of the pages. And in Jude, I noticed a passage being quoted from the book of 1 Enoch, chapter 1. And I found this quite amazing. A New Testament author here, I noticed, was quoting a scripture not found in the table of contents of the Bible. He was quoting a scripture, something called the book of 1 Enoch, chapter 1. And I just thought, wow, this is just really amazing. Not long after that particular eureka moment for me, luck would have it that I found someone selling translations of the books of 1 and 2 Enoch. Thus began my exploration of the world of extra-canonical, pseudopigraphical, apocryphal scriptures, Dead Sea Scrolls, Nag Hammadi Library, basically scriptures used by other forms of Judaism and Christianity and others in antiquity. And then one day at the University of Maine bookstore, a place that I often frequented to find new and interesting books, I noticed sitting on the shelf was a newly arrived book called The Nag Hammadi Library in English, first edition, published in 1977, edited by James M. Robinson, published by HarperCollins, as they were known at the time, the major publisher. And that, of course, contains what many refer to as the Gnostic Gospels, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Mary Magdalene, that sort of thing. Now, in some films, these are portrayed in a cloak and dagger sort of way. Stigmata, great movie. The Dan Brown stuff, of course. An old episode of The X-Files, the secret gospel of Mary Magdalene. People are killing and being killed over the secrets, you know, the buried secrets hidden in the walls of the church. The reality of this is not cloak and dagger as such. You just go to a bookstore and sitting on the bookshelf, you've got something called The Other Bible, edited by Willis Barnstone, or The Gnostic Bible, or The Nag Hammadi Library in English, or other texts. And there they are. Or you can Google them and find them online for free. I even have an e-library containing a whole section devoted to all the free stuff I found on the internet, free books, free Gnostic scriptures, Dead Sea Scrolls, and other texts that are just sitting on the internet for those willing to search for them. So the internet can dull people's minds by kind of making them live in a very tiny silo where all of their news and politics and beliefs are all reinforced by other people in the same tiny silo. Or you can get very creative and search for something. Once you think of something that you're interested in, you can search and find it. So the internet is both a great curse and a great blessing, depending on your ability to be creative and think outside of your own box or your own little silo world and explore. And if you do, you'll discover all sorts of interesting writings are just free, available on the World Wide Web. Wrestling with all the issues presented by these Gnostic scriptures and other texts that I discovered, I increasingly went in a more mystical and independent direction. I was very impressed with the wisdom of the Gnostics, the wisdom found in some of those Nag Hammadi books, and also certain Christian mystics, Meister Eckhart, Jacob Boehme, Jacob Boheme, as it might read for those not trying to pronounce it the German way, and other contemplative mystics. Those were the authorities. Those had something to say. Those had a kind of radiance, a spiritual inspiration, spiritual charge, and wisdom to offer, and not just a dry, predictable tradition. And I have spent a long time exploring those writings, collecting those writings. It's fascinating, some conclusions that you can come to after many years of research. For instance, from my acquaintance with more recent spiritual paths and their politics, there are three weird things about the New Testament I've gained some insight into. One, why are 18 years of Jesus' life not included by Orthodox gospel writers? You know, between the ages of 12 and 30, it's kind of a blank zone. Why is that? Well, of course, it would show Jesus studying under the teachings of various rabbis, perhaps some Essene teacher, certainly hung out with John the Baptist as his spiritual mentor. And those sorts of activities make Christ look more human. And so that information becomes something that a few people were uncomfortable with in early Christianity. Now, did they have to be uncomfortable? Does that knowledge demean or diminish the legacy of Christ? Not really. Not at all. By those who are, those who are not fearful of knowledge and all uptight and trying to be sectarian warriors or some sort of Taliban. You know, if you're not like that, not all sectarian and uptight, you know, whatever's true, that's cool, no problem. But for those who are battling heretics and trying to force one perspective on the rest of the world and are very aggressive with their sectarian warfare, I suppose that sort of knowledge undermines their cause. Because truth, the fossil record, science, those are all the enemies, right, of the sectarian warrior. That's why we need more science, more fossil record, and more apocryphal texts to turn up in the dry desert sand of Egypt. It's very healthy, I think, for the world and for spiritual paths and world religions, for that knowledge to escape and circulate amongst the masses. So that information did not get preserved about the early years of Jesus, because it makes him seem a bit too human for some. No need to be uptight about that information, but some people are. Some people just are. Two, why John the Baptist is not fully recognized. He's sort of considered the warm-up act for Christ in the New Testament, the way he's portrayed. It's sort of like Led Zeppelin opening for Van Halen, when you know it really was the other way around. If you're a music fan from the 70s catch my analogy, it doesn't really quite make sense. John the Baptist, for many, was considered the Messiah, the great prophet, and was a heavyweight figure. Not anyone's warm-up act. But, you know, when you have Christianity getting established, again, some people felt threatened by that John the Baptist figure being so messianic, the great master, the mentor of Christ. And so they tried various ways, not doing a Paul Twitchell kind of thing and trying to deny the connection to the real master before, but cutting him down a few notches. So John the Baptist is portrayed as a eater of locusts and sort of a weird guy. Cut down a few notches, and so you get sort of an awkward dance around the subject of who John the Baptist was. But of course, John the Baptist was a great kind of messianic figure, considered a prophet, a great spiritual teacher. Not a warm-up act at all. So that's another weirdness I noticed in the New Testament after spending many years studying. And number three, the awkwardness between Paul and the original Jesus movement. And that is the subject I will delve into right after we take this break. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening Radio after these messages here on HealthyLife.net. Positive Talk Radio, the lost books of the Bible, is the focus of today's edition of Spiritual Awakening Radio. Stay tuned.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
This is Alec Baldwin. There are lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
So what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every week at this time. My name is James Bean. This week my focus is my encounter with the lost books of the Bible. The lost scriptures or lesser known scriptures, deuterocanonical, extra-canonical, apocryphal, pseudepigraphical, Nag Hammadi, Dead Sea Scrolls, various writings, other people's Bible, the other Bible. Actually, there are many collections of scriptures going on in early Christianity, Judaism, other traditions once existing in antiquity in the Western world. I was providing a little insight that I've picked up from studying these writings from over the years. One, why are the 18 years of Jesus' life between the ages of 12 and 30 essentially missing? And my conclusion is because it makes Christ seem more human to have him. I don't believe Jesus went to India because there's no evidence of it, and there are a few documents that allege that, like, for instance, the Gospel of Isa by Nicholas Natanovich in the 19th century. But they checked out his story. He later recanted his story and said that he made the whole thing up. No evidence of the Gospel of Isa found at this Tibetan monastery that Natanovich claimed to have visited, if he even had a visa and even went there at all. Hard to say. So that didn't really pan out. I don't really believe Jesus went to India. I mean, if he did, that's cool. That's fine by me. And actually, the Apostle Thomas, there's a vast amount, it's a whole treasure trove of texts and traditions about him going to India. And that seems a bit more credible. But as for Jesus going to India, no evidence of it as such. People like to have tourist traps and tombs and texts, books to sell, talking about that. But no ancient texts, no ancient manuscripts. The one from the 19th century, the Gospel of Isa, has been discredited. And so no evidence, therefore probably not. But Jesus most likely studied under various rabbis and perhaps was part of the Essene movement. John the Baptist probably was a breakaway person from the Essene movement also. A lot of compatibilities between early Christianity, the John the Baptist group, and the Essenes. I mean, where John the Baptist conducted his baptisms was a stone's throw from Qumran and the Dead Sea. So, yeah, probably the Essene branch of Judaism is what you'd call the parent branch of Judaism for early Christianity. And then John the Baptist broke away from that and started his own thing and mentored Jesus. John the Baptist became the spiritual master of Jesus. And that's awkward point number two. In the New Testament, there's sort of a strange dance, kind of cutting John the Baptist down a few notches. And that politics surrounding John the Baptist, how he's treated in the New Testament, is because, once again, people sometimes are threatened by that sort of knowledge that Jesus had a teacher, a spiritual teacher, in the case of John the Baptist. And some people who are more sectarian-oriented or fundamentalist-oriented find that information a little threatening. I don't really see it that way myself. I'm much more disturbed by people that like retroactively editing our history for their own theological purposes. That I find troubling, but the actual reality of the relationship and facts of history, I do not find that to be a problem whatsoever. I'm fascinated by the reality of honest history. And point number three, observation number three, the awkwardness between Paul and the Jesus movement and James the Just. There's a little tension there if you read the New Testament. The original group is sort of marginalized in the New Testament. I mean, James the Just was a spiritual successor of Christ and elder, certainly an elder to the Apostle Paul. But his letter is like tucked away in the back, and the New Testament mostly is made up of letters of the Apostle Paul and Gospels that were authored by those sympathetic, or at least, and furthermore edited by those sympathetic with the Apostle Paul
perspective. And you get a couple things in the back, a letter of James, the letter of Jude that I started the program off by mentioning, and the book of Revelation that seemed to be coming from a slightly different orientation, but they're tucked away in the back, and, you know, that's it. A couple of mentions of these folks, but they're sort of marginalized in the New Testament. Paul has an argument with them about vegetarianism with James the Just and the original group in Jerusalem, advocating a vegetarian diet for all new converts to Christianity, but Paul not in favor of that. And so you get a little tension between the two groups, and that tension you can see in the New Testament. But that weird awkwardness is because Paul is sort of the rogue apostle, the one who was doing his own thing independent of the original group. But I find that original group to be quite fascinating, and I have a section of my e-library devoted to what I call Christianity before Paul, James the Just, the original disciples, and Mary Magdalene, and that whole group, that whole family of gurus and disciples and apostles that were part of the original Jesus movement. I want to know more about them. Paul, we have a lot of access to his teachings and letters and whatnot. But the Gospel of the Hebrews, the Gospel of the Ebionites, other books of James the Just, which is kind of closer to the Essene point of view and the John the Baptist point of view. I want to know more about those guys. Paul is sort of a latecomer and a rogue apostle, not quite in line with that original group, which gets kind of marginalized in the New Testament. And that just makes me more curious about those original Jesus movement followers. Given the name Ebionites, they're referred to as the Ebionites, or the Jesus movement, the original disciples and followers and apostles, and their teachings. And there are some surviving writings, a few verses of the Gospel of the Hebrews, Gospel of the Ebionites, sayings of James the Just. The Clementine Homilies is a huge kind of alternative book of Acts from a vegetarian Ebionite point of view that is aligned not with Paul, but with James the Just, Jesus' brother, James. And so you get a whole different form of Christianity there. Christianity before Paul. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening Radio after these messages.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm Carole King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
The original Jesus movement was vegetarian and did not believe in eating meat, period, much less meat that had been sacrificed to idols, or, in other words, the ritual use of animal sacrifice for some reason, you know, either within Judaism or in other Greco-Roman pagan religions, the sacrifice of animals to appease the gods or somehow benefit humanity in some way. That was completely rejected by the Essene branch of Judaism and the original Christians. Also, the Pythagoreans were dead set against, eating meat, and of course, the ritual sacrifice of animals for religious purposes. They were in opposition to that. The Gnostic Christians and Jewish groups, were generally speaking vegetarian as well. And I found this fascinating passage. It's in a book by Luke Myers called Gnostic Visions. I think he's read some of my blogs before. Anyway, an interesting book he has. He says, while the initial cause for Gnostic vegetarianism has been unknown in the past, many classical Christian authors have documented the Gnostics' widespread practice of vegetarianism. In a 4th century Christian document, it attests that heretical Gnostic Christians were still so common, and there were so many Gnostic heretics among the clergy and monks of Egypt that in the Theodosius, Egypt area, the patriarch Timothy made eating meat compulsory on Sundays as a way to flush out the vegetarian Gnostics. I just find that to be a fascinating quote. Here, as part of our post-church or post-mass meal, there will be meat served. Let's just step back and wait for the Gnostics to turn their nose up and say, I'm sorry, I'm not really too hungry today. I guess I won't be joining you for this meal to try and avoid eating the meat. And then that puts them on the list of suspects for being potential heretics. Potential Gnostics, generally known for their vegetarianism in Egyptian Christianity. Absolutely fascinating that they would use vegetarianism as a test for heresy. Well, I think we need more heretics in the world. And I hope I got the name of the city right. Theodosius, I think, is the name of the region in Egypt referred to. I've never heard that word spoken before, but that's my guess as to the region being referred to in this quote from the book Gnostic Visions by Luke Myers, Vegetarian Gnostics. So it's a fascinating subject, the exploration of these writings and the history of early Christianity is nothing like someone who is very naive or fundamentalist might assume. For instance, the early Catholic Church Father Tertullian refers to the Book of Enoch, and by Enoch he's referring to the Book of First Enoch, as Scripture. In his writings, he says, it says in the Scriptures, quote, blah, 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 thus and such, unquote. And the passage is actually found in the Book of First Enoch. He did that a number of times. There are many references by Tertullian, the Orthodox Catholic early church father, to the Book of Enoch, referring to it as Scripture. So that would be a surprise. There is an early church father by the name of Hieronymus, who is so stridently vegetarian that he's sort of the PETA member of the early church fathers. He's very aggressively vegetarian, and another surprise. You know, history, the reality of history is much more colorful, much more exciting, much more fascinating than the cut-and-dried, naive kind of fake version of history where the Bible drops from the sky. Everyone goes, yay, and starts clapping. Everything is all cut and dry, decided. All the doctrines, all the teachings, all the practices, views on vegetarianism, views on what is Scripture and what is not Scripture, all just according to some preconceived notion. That is so drab and so not real. The real version, the real history, is far more colorful, with people arguing and haggling about what the true teachings should be and what the true Scriptures should be. And you get not one Christianity, but Christianities, many different groups for many centuries. Very colorful. In Judaism, you had three major branches of Judaism, and that includes the Essenes. They were fascinating. Then in early Christianity, you have the Ebionites, the original remnant of the Jesus movement that allied itself not with the Apostle Paul. They sort of saw him as a heretic, speaking of heretics, but were allied with James the Just, Jesus' brother. And you have not only the Ebionites and the Paulites, the followers of Paul, but you have other fascinating groups as well. Valentinians, the Sethians, the Orphites, all of these different groups. You have this great diversity of groups around the Roman Empire. So there is no such thing as one Christianity with one set of beliefs and one set of scriptures and one diet that's considered kosher or okay. But you have this great colorful diversity going on. And that makes history much more interesting. It's much more interesting to watch the color high-def version than the old 50s black and white. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Okay, so you see a product you like on your favorite TV show, and you're going to write the number down. But if you're like me, you run around trying to find that pen and piece of paper, which magically disappears every time you need them. Then when you get back to the TV, they're already on to something else. Well, now there's a solution. Seen on TV products have combined all the best TV offers online and in one place. It's one-stop shopping. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Seen on TV products. Then, who cares if that pesky pen or paper does a disappearing act?
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins Beauty Products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is the name of the program. My website is at this address, spiritualawakeningradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. If you'd like to say hello or visit my website, there's a donate button on the website. There's links to blogs, articles, daily spiritual quotes via social media, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, other sites too, various blogs, my e-library. Podcasts of this program are available for free on demand. You'll find links to podcasts at my website. Of course, also at healthylife.net, the archive page. Scroll down to Spiritual Awakening Radio, and you can hear all of the shows during a three-month period. Shows are kept online, so listen to the oldest shows first, download the oldest shows first, and grab them while you can during that three-month window. My encounter with the lost books of the Bible, apocryphal writings, extra-canonical scriptures, secret and lost books. These days, these writings don't really fit into this cloak and dagger portrayal that we find in films like Stigmata, an old episode of The X-Files, the Dan Brown books and films. It's not really an intrigue sort of thing. Secret writings hidden in the Vatican that some people are trying to prevent from getting published. All of these writings are for free, are online, for sale at bookstores, used bookstores, Kindle ebook downloads. I mean, they're all out there. There's nothing really hidden anymore. Well, I'll take that back. There is a little bit of cloak and dagger, a few things that have been kept from us, as it were. But a lot of stuff is out there. A majority of the texts are available and have been translated into English, translated into French, translated into German, translated into Spanish, and are just available sitting out there. There are some things that still are kept hidden. There is a monastery in Jerusalem that has a copy of the secret Gospel of Mark that they just refuse to release to the public because they just see it as causing trouble. There's a book on the secret Gospel of Mark by Morton Smith that's really very wonderful, that describes this his encounter with secret Mark. And it is true that I have a translation of the Masada documents, and those are related to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and some of them were found at Masada, and the missing pieces of the Masada documents, I noticed the translator made use of some other versions of some of those from a library on Mount Athos in Greece. There are at least 26 monasteries atop Mount Athos in Greece. It's sort of the monastic capital of the world, or Tibet of the West, if you will, with Orthodox monasteries, you know, Russian and Greek and Catholic, you know, monasteries up there, and some very old libraries. And this translator of Dead Sea Scroll and Masada material made use of another manuscript from Mount Athos to fill in the gaps in something called Songs of the Sabbath Sacrifice, which is a very beautiful text found at Masada, very much related to the tradition of Essene Judaism and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so those folks on Mount Athos, I mean, the Songs of the Sabbath Sacrifice, that's a very old document. One wonders what else they got, right? What else do they have? A long time ago, I was reading the Gospel of Thomas and getting acquainted with it, and then I noticed in some early church fathers, they quote sayings of Jesus not found in the New Testament. Origen of Alexandria is one of those, Clement of Alexandria also. And I was very impressed when I would see them quote passages, you know, of Jesus, sayings of Jesus not found in the New Testament. And I remember remembering those sayings from the Gospel of Thomas. And so I thought, whoa, this is very impressive, you know, that you have sayings that are unique to Thomas that were quoted by these early church fathers who lived in the 2nd and 3rd centuries A.D., making it seem pretty real all of a sudden, you know, like there's really something to this. This isn't a collection of sayings that someone invented in some isolated part of Syria, but rather this is a very ancient tradition of sayings, and they turn up far and wide in various writings of other folks. Macarius quotes saying 114 of the Gospel of Thomas and his writings. Origen of Alexandria, Clement of Alexandria, many other writings too, have these quotes that are sayings of Jesus that you'll find in the Gospel of Thomas if you look that up. The God of time, or illusion, has put a cover over the teachings of saints and thus concealed them from humanity, or at least concealed them from their minds for the most part. The teachings are secret, but these days, if you are creative, if you ask a few questions, if you have some curiosity, you can find out the concealed scriptures of the Western world. As it says in the Gospel of Thomas, a Greek edition, there is nothing hidden that won't become exposed, and there is nothing buried that won't be raised. A saying of Jesus found in Egypt, part of the Greek Gospel of Thomas, discovered at an ancient rubbish dump in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt. There's nothing hidden that won't become exposed, and there is nothing buried that won't be raised, including this very saying itself and the book that it was a part of, found at a rubbish dump in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, known as the Gospel of Thomas. Thanks for joining me today on Spiritual Awakening Radio. Hope you enjoyed some of my reflections upon the lost books of the Bible. Thanks for listening.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on rock.com now.
I love food, and I love to eat.
The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research, and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/SpiritualAwakeningRadio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.